Okay, yes, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Rugby Muscle Podcast, your Sherpa in the mountain of rugby, strength, conditioning, and nutrition. I'm your host, as always, TJ, and today, as you've seen, we are going to be talking about nutrition. So before we dive into that, do me a huge favor, hit that like button on YouTube, subscribe if you haven't done so already on Spotify, whatever podcast platform you listen to, and drop us a quick review. Really does help us out and ensures that you never miss an episode. Also, would like to hear your comments by hitting the three dots on Spotify and adding a comment, or down below on YouTube. The comments are also always appreciated. And you can always give your reaction using the comments. So let me know if any of these five appeal to you a lot. If you disagree, love to hear your opinions in the comments below. And if not, just drop me a comment for the algorithm. It really does help out. Now, let's talk about being proactive and what you should be doing with your nutrition. Food facilitates everything, right? It's your ability to train, your ability to recover, your ability to have energy and adapt and essentially become the rugby player that you want to be. Also plays a huge role in our lives, both socially and like happiness wise. Food is one of the few things where you can do it or eat it and then as a direct result of that, be happy, right? It's why when people go through breakups, you know, they're sat there eating the ice cream. It's because it makes you feel happy. It's one of the few things that can do that. So it's really important to keep this in check and be proactive about your nutrition. It's not just about like specific rules or this food being better than this food. I think that does you a fucking huge disservice when it comes to nutrition. I don't think that really helps you out. I think rather than tell you eat like steak instead of mince or eat, I don't know, broccoli instead of beans. I think instead what we should be doing is talking about what you do consistently and how you can make your food and nutrition choices align with the goals that you are trying to pursue. Now, obviously, part of that is going to be tracking your progress along the way and being proactive about it and also holding yourself accountable. All of those things can also be taken care of along with not just these rules, but continual advice and guidance and much, much more when it comes to nutrition. And of course, a training plan with coaching. I'll put the links to that in the description below. But for the five rules, these are five rules that I use with my clients. It's not necessarily like these are set in stone. These are the ones I give to everyone. These are just general, real good guidelines that I find myself repeated time and time and time again. And these are ones that I lay out for everyone that works with me at Rugby Muscle. And it's not just about performing your best on the field, but like hitting your goals with your performance and not going crazy in the long term. So let's get into these five rules. First one is going to be avoid the bandwagon thinking. And this is going to be the only one of these rules that is a bit more sort of like not actual tangible do this or considering a certain type of food or whatever it is. This is a lot more all-encompassing when it comes to your diet. When you're following a diet, that's you think, okay, now I'm following a diet, my nutrition really matters. But when you're not following a diet, you're still following a diet, right? Whether you're being proactive or not, your body is still processing the foods that you're consuming. You're still consuming your food. You're still being influenced to consume your food, whether that be because of a result that you're after, or whether that be because you like the taste of a certain food, or because of a certain social situation, or because of a, you know, a societal expectation, or because of some friends or family that influence the type of food that you enjoy. Or it could be that you walk past something that smells really good and you want to eat it. You know, you're always being influenced and you're always eating food no matter what. So with that in mind, this is why it's best to keep your nutritional approach as simple, and I'd say it's easy, but there's always going to be levels to that. So as simple as best you can manage. So yes, like tracking food on the surface is kind of simple, right? All you've got to do is continue with your diet, but now you've got to log all of the food that you eat. But you can see where you could argue that it's not necessarily simple because you've got to log all of the food that you eat. But it's really important to have a simple approach. Will allow you to reach your goals eventually, but also will allow you to stick to like said goal when you reach it, but also stick to your approach for the foreseeable future without taking, you know, having to cheat or having to take days off. Cheating, like, is like, people think that that's a good thing. It's not. Like, cheating is implied by the word, right? It's something that you shouldn't do. And like, I'm not saying this from a holier than thou perspective. I've gone through this where, you know, when I was like 17, 18 was when I first started taking my nutrition seriously. And I can remember all the way through to like my early 20s, still really kind of struggling with nutrition, even though I was probably the most proactive in researching what I should be doing with my nutrition. All that ended up doing was allowing me to find different like sort of magic pills that I thought I was supposed to take. So keto would be one of them. I tried paleo. I tried every sort of fucking diet that you could ever imagine. I've tried it, and I've just never found the most sustainable approach other than like just logging your food. And then even then, I'll go through long periods where I don't log my food and I just stick to the nutrition by the rules I'm about to go through, and also just by my own, you know, heading towards my own goals. But I remember a time when I was like between 19 and 20 where I wouldn't, like, I would be so strict with my nutrition, like as far as keto goes and as far as like having the perfect diet plan from like Monday to Thursday. And then when Friday came around, mostly Friday, because I'd have a game Saturday, I'd start to just load up on the food, thinking that that would give me energy for Saturday, not knowing that actually I could just have been aerobically fitter. And that led to all sorts of issues where I remember this distinctive time where I was injured and I wasn't playing on Saturdays, but I still did I didn't do the Friday diet. I would do Monday to Friday as perfectly dieted as possible. I'm talking, you know, really super low carb, if not no carb nutrition approach. And then when the weekend came around, after my Saturday morning session, I would go to Sainsbury's and I would load up, I'm not kidding you, a trolley. Like, I don't think it was the big family trolleys. I think it was like one of the small ones, but it would be loaded full of food, of junk food that I would eat that weekend. I'm talking at least one box of cereal. If cereal was on offer, there was like a 2-for-1, or if I just couldn't decide, sometimes it would be two boxes of cereal. It would be a pizza. It would be a pasta. At least one box of pasta as well, usually. And I would just start loading up on junk. It'd probably be a 6-pack of donuts, or it'd be whatever was on sale in the bakery as well. And I would go to town. And this also, like, had, like, talking about it now, like, you start to see how saying this stuff out loud makes it seem extreme, not just from a nutritional approach, but also from like a mental approach. I remember like there'd be times where I would avoid social situations on the afternoon because I'd want to be eating my food, or I would avoid potentially nights out, or I'd join nights out later, or I wouldn't be like overly spontaneous because I had this food now that I've bought that I want to really enjoy. And probably there's some shame in there and stuff, but the point is that stopped me from getting into as good a shape as I could have and performing at my best. And obviously we're talking about more than just a physical standpoint, but also the mental standpoint. And that is why I like much more of an 80-20 approach. I think once you say that it's okay and you're not cheating when you're doing these binge episodes, and you're not binging, you're just proactively having food that is going to not necessarily move you closer to your goal, but is justified because of whatever reason. Now, we're not justifying binging. We're justifying a week away, maybe where you're on vacation with a loved one and you don't fancy having to track everything, or you don't fancy having to stick to this diet perfectly and stress over getting 5 different fruits. Maybe it's just one night where you're out and you decide you're with the boys, just gonna have a few beers, and then you're gonna go back to your 80 approach the next day. It could also be, you know, on a day-to-day basis, maybe you need to get some more fuel in for a particularly hard session that you need to recover from or perform. Whatever the case is, it needs to be intentional. And I think it needs to be not on and off the bandwagon. It needs, like, you're always on the bandwagon, no matter what. You're always eating, you're always suffering or benefiting from the consequences of what you are eating. So overall, I think the best way to view this is to be proactive about setting some goals and have, you know, and understand that whatever you're eating is either contributing or not, and be okay with either of those situations, whether it's not, and that's okay, or whether it is, and you now know what you should be eating. Potentially having cues for when to tighten things up, so you know you're just being, once you've got in solid habits for your nutrition, there's something to be said for, this is what I do with a lot of the guys that I work with at Rugby Muscle, is once weight gets to a certain point or body fat gets to a certain point, and we don't have like a specific percentage, we just have like, I'm feeling a bit too fluffy, that's when we start to rein it in. Okay, so yeah, like I said, that first rule is always going to be a lot more all-encompassing, a lot more like harder to actually completely define, but you get the point. There is no strict meal plan that is going to work for everyone or for you. There is just, you're always eating, how can we make sure that I'm eating to hit my goals as best possible? Now, with that in mind, number two, eating your carbohydrates. Carbohydrates are the fuel for high intensity and sustained activity like rugby. And it's also not just the energy to perform, but also the energy to recover from those efforts. A lot of people think about recovery as protein, and they're not necessarily wrong, but recovery is also about having the energy to go through the process of repairing your fatigued body, your fatigued muscles, and then replenishing the energy source that you have already, or the energy store, sorry, that you have burned through to perform. So carbohydrates, bloody important. You see people that say that they can go through on a keto diet and they can either perform like a marathon or a long distance run, maybe because the intensity is too low. Even then, I'd still argue you're going to perform better on carbohydrates. You've seen powerlifters that do, or bodybuilders that do only keto diets. And again, you're working for such a short period of time that maybe you don't need a substantial amount of carbohydrate. But when you're doing rugby, you absolutely do. And I know some people even play rugby with low levels of carbohydrates in their diet, thinking that they're going to benefit from a keto diet and they're fat adapted and they can play rugby at the best of their ability. Well, this is not the case. You can ride to work on your bike with completely flat tires. You could even ride your bike to work without any pedals. It doesn't mean that that's a good thing and that's what you should do. Everyone that eats a keto diet that plays rugby, I've never seen anyone that doesn't then perform better when introducing carbohydrates into that diet. So carbohydrates are going to be your main fuel source for performance and for recovery. And if you consume enough pre and post training, you're going to be fine. I wouldn't overly put a big emphasis on that, like specifically carbohydrate wise. We'll talk about this in a second. But I think in general, you should be focusing on carbohydrates. And if you struggle, look into foods that are very easy to eat. I'm talking about like cereals, not porridge, like actual cereals, like breakfast cereals, sugary foods. You can eat those around your training sessions if you want, or you can just eat them away as a dessert. There's so many things that, you know, high in carbohydrates that are kind of easy to eat that allow you to get in enough. And, you know, if you're getting through enough work with your training and you're getting enough micronutrients with quote-unquote healthy food, you don't have to overly stress healthiness of all of your food. As long as you're getting in enough fiber, as long as you're getting in enough vitamins, there's no bonus points for only eating those healthy foods. If you're then under recovered, then I would argue that's not healthy. So make sure you're eating your carbohydrates, and that's how you're going to perform at your best. Next, get in enough protein. Obviously, we know by now, you don't need me to tell you that protein is critical for your muscle repair, muscle growth, all these good things that we're after from our training, from rugby, but also for rugby players because of the impacts. I don't know why this camera is going absolutely bonkers. Let me see if I can just stop this for a second. It's bloody annoying. We're just going to carry on. So anyway, where were you? So protein, yeah, we know that it's critical to grow muscle when you're training in the gym. It's also pretty important when you're going through the impacts that you are and taking the knocks that you are as a rugby player. Maybe if you're listening to this in off season, it's not as important, but then even then you might have more of a focus of hypertrophy. So there's enough protein and that's it. And it needs to be stated that more is not necessarily better. Like if you're getting in, I'd say around a gram per pound of body weight that's easily enough. I don't even think you need that. I think you probably need 2 grams per kilo of body weight. And I even say lean body weight. So if you're like 100 kilos, but you're 15% body fat, that's 170 grams of protein. I don't think you need that much more. You can have a little bit more just to cover your bases. But again, more is not better. Once you've hit that amount of protein that you need, more carbohydrates is actually going to benefit you. More protein is not, right? The more protein, the more carbohydrates you have, the more energy you have for, you know, fueling recovery, fueling your sessions, performing at a higher intensity, recovering even faster. Protein is just the building blocks. You need enough building blocks. If you've got enough building blocks to build your building, having extra excess blocks doesn't build that building faster. It's just spare, and you're just going to piss it out. Whereas if you have more workers on the building, which would be your carbohydrates, yes, now, as long as you've got enough blocks, you're going to build that building faster. So hopefully that makes sense. People always ask me about protein powder. Yes, it's a useful tool. It's a food. You don't take protein. You're not on protein. It's a food, and so should be considered as such. Yes, it's processed. So is everything else that you bloody eat. Go look up a picture of what broccoli actually looks like in the wild. It's not what we eat. All of the food that we eat, by and large, is somewhat processed. Protein powder is no different. Protein powder is no different than cheese. If we're talking about whey protein, if we're talking about other proteins, again, it's no different than like tofu or whatever processed food. All foods that we eat are processed, and that's okay. So yeah, protein powder is a food. Take advantage of it if you need it to help you get in enough protein. Next, hydration. Yes, nutrition is not just food, it's also drink. So when we're looking at hydration, we want to make sure that hydration can be massive to perform and at your best, and also then recover, all that good stuff. Mostly for performance, mostly for day-to-day cognitive function as well, hydration can be absolutely important. It is unbelievable to me how many people just are not hydrated and how much that really does cost them. Easiest way to check if you're hydrated well is obviously your urine color. You're looking for like a pale straw sort of color. And obviously if you're thirsty, like that's another cue, obvious cue, right, that you need to be drinking. You should never really be thirsty if you're a proactive athlete, like in the day to day. Maybe at some points in training you might be thirsty, but again, if you're proactive, you're going to be good. It's going to be different for different people how much water you need to take in, but it's not like, obviously water is fundamental, but it's not the whole picture. We're also, for hydration, we're looking at sodium. Sodium is the most important of your electrolytes. Nowadays, electrolytes are really, really popular. Sodium is the most important one. I would even say potentially you could have a hydration drink, but more importantly than that, or as important as that, is going to be salting your food. We've been constantly bombarded recently, or not recently, from like the 90s, that salt is really bad for you, or sodium is really bad for you. If you're active, it's not bad for you at all. It's just the fact that most people just stop being active. You should be salting your food and drinking enough water. Most of that is going to, or that is going to take care of most of your hydration issues. Then there is obviously potassium, calcium, magnesium, the other electrolytes that you need to take in, which help with, you know, nerve function, muscle contractions, and overall physical performance. But sodium's the one that you want to look for. I've recently seen that Prime drink that's really popular. If you're, I start to feel old when I say things like this, but you youngsters drinking your Prime drinks, and they say it's got the highest electrolyte concentration. That's because the electrolytes in there are bullshit. It's got mostly like potassium and very low levels of sodium, which is the one that you want. You can also make your own like sort of sports drink just by putting some juice in, mixing it with a few teaspoons of salt and then water, and then boom, you're done. Loads of different things that you can do to stay proactive with your hydration. But as long as you're monitoring it, as long as your pee is the right color and you feel like you're performing well, then you're going to be good. If you're someone that sweats more, obviously you're going to need to have more sodium in your diet or in your electrolyte drinks, and not just post exercise but also during your exercise and potentially before. Being like readily hydrated before you perform is going to be massive. Not just going, oh crap, my pee is bright yellow in the middle of a session, or I feel like I'm really thirsty in the middle of my session. It's too late then, because your body takes time to hydrate itself. So you want to be going into your training, your matches, nice and hydrated, and using the proactive strategies that we've already discussed. So staying hydrated, bloody important. And then finally, use meals. And what do I mean by use meals? I mean, like, I don't believe in snacks. I think meals are how we should be eating. Whether you have two meals a day, whether you have 3 to 5 to 6 meals a day, every time you eat, it should be a meal. That helps you with your hunger levels, that helps you with your organization of your day, not only so that you can get in enough calories or not overeat on your calories, but so that you can be nice and satiated and not go into your training sessions hungry. So you can go into your training sessions nice and full, but also not be like uncomfortable because you ate 5 minutes before a really tough session on a Tuesday night. Obviously, that's not the perfect, obviously that's not going to work, right? But then it's about figuring out what works for you. And obviously having some sort of meal after training is also really bloody important. The only time I would say you don't necessarily have to have a big meal before training is if you're training at like 6, 7 a.m. and you wake up very shortly before. Otherwise, I'd always still try and get something in. It's not going to make a huge difference, because if you're having training sessions that early, the fuel for that session is going to be already stored in the body from the night before or from the day before. So you're going to be fine. But once you start talking about evening training sessions, yes, you need to fuel. You need to figure out when is right for you. Some people that I work with, they have to eat within an hour of their training session. It doesn't, obviously you're not digesting that food and utilizing it as energy during that session, but it's just that feeling of not feeling hungry that a lot of people will need, and particularly towards the end of those sessions. Some people can't eat within 3 hours of a session. So whatever that looks like for you, you utilize that meal. And now whatever approach you can utilize to make you less hungry, to make you throughout the day, and to make you eat according to the goals that you want. So whether you want to gain muscle, you want to be eating a lot, whether you want to be performing well and eating a decent amount, or whether you want to be losing fat and eating a little bit less, utilize the meals and the timing of those meals. So that could be it could be intermittent fasting, or it could be eating 4 square meals or 3 square meals a day. Whatever works best for you, utilize the meals to work for you. Cool. That's a wrap for today's episode. Remember, nutrition is the game changer for rugby. It facilitates everything that you do and also plays a huge part in your happiness and social life. So you've got to be proactive with it, you've got to be proactive with it to succeed. Set those goals, stay on track, and then keep pushing. If you found today's episode useful, share it with a teammate who could benefit from it as well. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'll see you in the next one.